Our Old Testament reading for today comes from Jeremiah chapter 20. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with withholding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side of him. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. Say all my close friends watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 6. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who once were slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for reading the gospel. The Holy Gospel is from Matthew chapter 10. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructed. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the rooftops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, due to peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if anyone heard a story reported a couple weeks ago. It came out of Ireland, and as reported by the Washington Post and the New York Times, sometimes in the post-World War II years, roughly 800 bodies of babies or children had been dumped in a septic tank, supposedly by a group of nuns. The Washington Post ran a second story elaborating on why the nuns would do this, supposedly because the kids were born out of wedlock, taken from their mothers and their families. There was a problem with that story, though. It wasn't true. As it turns out, almost everything about the breathless stories was either false, completely made up, or at best putting the absolute worst interpretation on things not understood. One reporter put forward an interesting question. Why would the Washington Post rush two stories about supposedly cruel nuns from the 1930s in Ireland into print without checking the facts? But Kermit Gosnell's horror show of an abortion clinic in their backyard, they termed a local crime story and never covered it. Both stories are about dead kids treated with incredible cruelty, but the one that went uncovered was the one that was present, local, and happened to have been true. By all the rules of news, Gosnell should have been front page. Why a fake story about dead nuns, but silence about a real local butcher shop? And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. If they called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Now, this is not always the case. There is a time for everything, a time to build up and a time to cast away. Jesus had his popular days in Galilee. But even in the midst of that popularity, the Pharisees and the leaders were plotting how to kill him. Already at the start of Mark chapter 3, we are told they plotted to destroy him. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in The Cost of Discipleship, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. So if the deck is stacked against you, if the God we supposedly worship isn't going to lift a finger or deploy that awesome power to give you what you consider your best life now, why would anyone follow? For the same matter, why would anyone care enough to persecute? I want to point at verse 26 of today's text. This is my observation, and you're free to disregard it, but to me, the closer you get to the gospel, the more double-edged the proclamation. For example, Jesus is Lord. If you are confessing the name of Jesus, that is great good news. While if you have all your eggs in Caesar's basket, not so much. Or take, he is risen. If you have watched and prepared and gathered oil for your lamps, At the resurrection of all flesh, you are part of the wedding feast. If you are unprepared, if you lived as if there was no tomorrow other than being worm food, the fact that you too shall rise, and as the Athanasian Creed says, give an account of their own deeds, he is risen, could be terrifying. Verse 26 falls into that two-edged proclamation. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. If you live the life of repentance, which is really a life of revelation, repentance means that we recognize the things that we have done and seek reconciliation with those we have harmed. If you live a life of repentance, there aren't those skeletons in the closet. In fact, the biggest thing that we await is the revelation of what we now take on faith. The kingdom of God, which is hidden as yeast amidst the dough, will be revealed in all of its majesty. The entire creation groans in anticipation of this revealing. Yes, Jesus, reveal all things. Your kingdom come. But if you haven't repented, if you've sought to bury the sins, often by denying that they are sins, if your treasure is here in this world, having that revealed is an existential threat. Why would anyone follow a Savior who warns of such troubles? The only reason is that you believe him. The only reason is that you have a healthy fear of God. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Christians insist upon proclaiming such inconvenient truths, things that don't fit the narrative of the world. Why are Christians hated by all? Because the proclamation of the gospel, when you don't want to hear it, is damning. But leaving it there wouldn't be the full gospel message. All of Luther's explanations to the Ten Commandments begin, we should fear and love God. As Jesus counsels, fear is not inappropriate. The only reason we question fearing today is because we're all de facto universalists. We assume that the gospel applies to everyone, that God's a nice chap after all, as long as I'm not Hitler or Pharaoh or anyone who hardened their hearts really dramatically, we're good. Jesus is just all right with me. We can think of Buddy Christ instead of Holy Christ. You read Jesus seriously, you can't walk away with just that picture. Jesus, the guy who supposedly knows better than anyone, warns about hell more than the rest of the Bible put together. But a healthy fear of God isn't the largest part. To the first commandment, Luther writes, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And it's that trust that Jesus adds in poetic images. What I've heard called the divine dove. Two sparrows are sold for a penny, right? And not one falls without your Father's knowledge. You are worth a whole lot more than sparrows. Well, duh. Even the hairs on your head are all numbered. And as I lose mine, I'm trusting that he's got them. That resurrection body better have a full head of hair. this, the belief in the promises, in the word, is the core of that trust. If he's got your hair, how much more your very soul? Well, duh. Just like that fundamental choice on fear, either he's got the power or he doesn't. Either the Father, the one who sustains all things, whom we live and move and have our being, either the Father's got the whole world in his hands, or he doesn't. What is the Spirit telling you? The last word of Luther's triptych we haven't looked at is love. What does love look like? God says that he himself is love and that Jesus is the full revelation of the Father. So love looks like solidarity. He was incarnated by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and made man. Putting aside the glory as if it was nothing, he took on our flesh to stand with us. In the waters of the Jordan, he stood for us, taking our sins out of those waters on himself and giving us his baptism, sanctifying all waters as a blessed flood and a washing away of sin. Christ showed us love by saying, "These are mine. These are my people. Flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone." That is the offer of the gospel. "Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." We have been washed and called into the life of God. We have been loved. Do we respond with love, or do we spurn it? Do we deny it? These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them. The Christian life is not one for the faint-hearted. It isn't about family values. Brother will deliver brother over to death and father his child. It isn't about how to win friends and influence people. It's about one thing. That man on the cross. Is that the one whom you fear, love, and trust above all things? If not, you better figure out who you're serving. You're serving something. You should figure out what it is and what it promises and demands. If you are following the crucified, fear not. He's got you and won't let you go. Have no fear of them. Everything hidden will be revealed. Amen.